More JEA controversies make the news this week yet again. A federal appeals court takes up a local trans bathroom case. And JU says goodbye to its football program. But on the other hand, the Jaguars say hello again to Gardner Minshew. Some of the stories making headlines this week. Good Friday morning and live from Studio 5. I'm Melissa Ross and this is First Coast Connect. Thanks for listening. Just ahead this hour, all of the top stories of the week with our Friday roundtable. And you can join us. Give us a call. It's 549-2937. Then later, take a tasting tour this holiday. We'll tell you how. All of that ahead. But first, it's Friday, and here to discuss yet another jam-packed week in the news, we welcome David Bauerlein with the Florida Times-Union. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Writer Nikisha Williams is here.
Hey.
Good morning. Tim Gibbons, editor at the Jacksonville Business Journal.
Good to be here.
And Giorgio Valentino, who edits Folio Weekly.
Good morning.
So good to have you all here because, gosh, it's been a crazy week in the news once again. So much to talk about. Everything from football news to a dispute over bathroom rights at a local high school that's now going to a federal judge. We'll get to all of that in a moment, but we're going to begin once again this week with the latest controversies at JEA. There's a lot to discuss. So much happened this week. Let's go through it one by one. On Thursday, Jacksonville City Councilwoman Brenda Priestley Jackson filed legislation calling on JEA to end its negotiations for a potential sale of the city-owned utility. At the same time, the TU reported two bombshells this week. One, the city's general counsel didn't sign off on a bonus plan that would have allowed employees to profit from a sale. The TU this week also reported that JEA has a secret code name for its privatization plan, Project Scampi. Why? We'll talk about that.
Wait, you have an answer?
Why Scampi? That was my first thought. And of course, earlier in the week, Jacksonville City Councilman Matt Carlucci called for the resignation of JEA CEO Aaron Zahn. As the controversy ramps up around this possible sale of JEA, we want your calls as we discuss these new revelations. Give us a call. It's 549-2937. Already getting your emails and send tweets to @MelissaInJax. Okay, guys, earlier this week, we hosted both City Councilman Matt Carlucci and JEA Chief Customer Officer Carrie Stewart. One appeared Monday, the next one appeared Tuesday. Let's listen to their comments about the future of the utility. Here we go.
I think Aaron Zahn has been trying to push towards privatization from the beginning. It may be calling for his job, and I don't like that, but there's going to be a lot of other jobs lost if privatization happens. So we're talking about jobs here. We're talking about people. We're talking about, this is all about Jacksonville to me.
The board put their confidence into Aaron Zahn to go forward with the strategic planning process. And our biggest concern is that people leap to judgment about what we are really talking about, which is strategic planning, with five options, privatization being one of them.
Okay, it's 549-2937 as we start this off. David Bauerlein, let's begin with you. Lots of news in the paper this week about JEA, beginning with, let's begin with the most bizarre headline. That your paper learned that JEA executives have a secret code name for privatizing the utility, Project Scampi.
Right. Well, you would think that they would have come up with a code name like Volt or Thunderbolt or something that really was dramatic, instead of just naming it after a pasta dish. Is Project Lasagna must have been taken.
I guess so.
Project Scampi. That is their code name for this huge, potentially transformative deal. I have no idea why it's Scampi or how that came to be, that they picked that name. More questions about that still to be asked.
And then also the fact that they don't have a code name for any other potential futures for the utility, which is telling, such as turning it into a co-op, publicly owned co-op or something like that. The TU also reported this week that the city's general counsel never signed off on this controversial bonus plan for JEA employees. Nikisha, when that came to light, the utility backed away from the plan because the perception was that executives were planning to cash out, sometimes to great amounts, if they were able to successfully sell the utility off.
This whole plan from the beginning has been straight trash, like from the rollouts to how it was presented to the people or not presented to the people, to how it's gone before the city council, to JEA's plans for whatever they plan to do with the money, which still haven't been discussed, and now golden parachutes for executives that weren't signed off. You can't get any worse than where you already are. Just stop. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Just stop. It's been absolutely horrible. And in the soundbite, you said this is one of, Carrie Stewart said this is one of five plans. What are the other four?
Well, she had to, now let's give full voice to her appearing on this program. She went through them. They included selling to a private entity. They included becoming a co-op. And there were three other kind of configurations that involved partial privatization. She's listed those options many times when she's appeared on this program. So I want to make sure people hear what she had to say. Now, that said, certainly the cynical observers of this do not believe those other options are being seriously considered. I think it's fair to say.
I think that's the actually important bit about the code name. You know, unless they're assuming that they're going to sell it to the Jacksonville Shrimp, you know, the name itself isn't so much important as the idea that the sale of JEA has a code name. That's the project they're considering. When companies have codenamed projects, they're not, you know, just a whole vague grab bag of options. Or that would be, you know, the strategic planning process. That doesn't need a code name. I think the important thing, and this came up when Mayor Curry appeared before City Council, he was adamant in calls to the Business Journal that he does not support privatization. He supports the process that they're going through to examine the options. Nobody across the city thinks that JEA is examining options. Now, if they are, they should come out and talk about that and show the studies and show how they're examining it. But it's of a piece with the entire idea that there's a general lack of trust of what JEA is doing because of the way they're doing it. Nobody thinks that they're looking at the five options because they're clearly not, and yet they keep on saying it. When people keep on saying things that no one believes is true, it you know, totally degrades the trust that they need as a public utility going down this process.
It's 549-2937. Giorgio Valentino, the bonus scheme corroded public trust. So did the mailers the utility sent out to ratepayers touting the benefits of privatization. That left a bad taste in some constituents' mouths to the point now where we have two council members saying, let's pull the plug on this. Matt Carlucci and Brenda Priestley-Jackson, she's actually filed legislation telling JEA to end negotiations for a potential sale. The question, of course, is, are there 10 votes on the city council or even a supermajority to stop a sale? How much influence does the mayor have over these council members' votes ultimately as this process plays out?
We began by mentioning public trust. There was very little to begin with, and that has definitely collapsed. And finally, the council members are starting to get hip to that, and they're realizing that they need to start representing their constituents who have totally lost faith in this process. So we're beginning to see that. I hope we see more of it, but the fact is that the council members are there for a reason, and they've been, some of them have been kind of supported by people in City Hall and kind of been placed there, and it's going to be difficult for them to stand up to the mayor, I think. Maybe impossible, but let's see. But the people are definitely against this 110%.
Let us know where you stand on the sale of JEA. Give us a call, 549-2937. Okay, David Bauerline, Priestley Jackson is apparently meeting in about 45 minutes with City Council President Scott Wilson on this matter. So, you know, all eyes will be on these council members going forward. But to be clear, as we've talked about on this show many times, the public theoretically also gets to weigh in on this via a referendum.
Right. I don't think there are going to be 10 votes. I could be wrong for this resolution that Priestley Jackson has put forward. I just don't see the votes to count up that way, because I think there's going to be some council members who are saying, I'm not supportive of selling JEA, but I still think the process should come to a conclusion, and then we'll see what the offer is, and then we can compare whether it makes sense or not at that point. So I'm not expecting there's going to be a resolution to the JEA board for them to call it all off.
That would be amazing. Have a vote and just, you know, it all shuts down. But no, there is the interesting thing that if you think that Jacksonville's consolidated system of government is set up appropriately, there is an argument that they're an independent authority and they should go through the process, and that we don't want city council weighing in on, you know, overly much on DIA or the airport authority or any of the other independent authorities, that they are supposed to govern their own business. I think one of the things that has people so riled up about this is it does not feel like JEA is doing this independently. It feels like something that has been controlled from City Hall, like with some of the Children's Commission sort of thing, where you have a higher level of City Hall involvement than you have in the past. But the idea that these are supposed to be independent authorities who know their business and go down a path.
Right. And to be clear, when Mayor Curry was elected in his first term, one of the first actions he took, controversially at the time, was to purge city boards and commissions of independently appointed folks. And he installed those that theoretically you would guess would be more loyal to him and his agenda. These board members' terms are staggered for a reason, so as to insulate them from the whims of whomever is in City Hall at the time. And so the mayor upended a longstanding tradition when he purged those boards and commissions and installed loyalists. This is presumably the outcome of this. He has on that board people that would execute his agenda, his priorities, namely privatizing this utility. Nikisha.
I feel like when we're talking about the city council and going back to what David was saying about, you know, there may be a lot of council members who do not support the vote or do not support what's happening, but they're not going to vote that way. And it is just pretty obvious that even with as many council members who realize that this is not what their constituents want, this is not an open process, they don't want the smoke from City Hall and from the mayor's office to say that, you know, we're actually going to stand up to the mayor and say, no, this is not what we're going to do, and vote against something that he obviously wants and has put in place to happen no matter what. The maneuverings and the machinations of City Hall and all of the city authorities is evident and it's obvious. And so, yes, let JEA go through the process of considering what they want to do, but make that process open. And I think that has been the biggest complaint from the very beginning. The process hasn't been open and it hasn't been transparent, and it's looking like it's being forced down the people's throat. It's being forced down City Hall's throat, and nobody is getting a say, and that's not the kind of government that we have
in
the city.
And what about the fact-finding workshops on JEA that the city council is holding right now, Giorgio, so as to have more transparency about this process?
I mean, a lot of these efforts are so disingenuous, and so they're not even really worth mentioning. I mean, they have one objective in mind, and they're going to use this kind of smokescreen of the process, and we're going to let JEA explore and decide their fate. I mean, their fate is already decided in the minds of folks at City Hall.
I mean, it also seems very reactionary. Like, the fact-finding missions were established after the information about JEA wanting to sell came out. So it's like, oh, well, let's clean it up and make it seem like the council has some say in this.
I think Nikisha's point about the transparency is really the overarching thing on this entire process, that as we were talking about before the show started, if JEA really thinks it needs to be sold, if it thinks it's in a death spiral, if it's not simply trying to enrich some of its chief executive or executive officers, then they would be doing this differently. You can imagine a world in which a utility head says this has to be done, and in a transparent, open, community engaging sort of fashion, they go down that path because it's something that has to happen. This is not that. I mean, you look at other things the city has done over the years. It has shown itself able to bring the public in and have them discuss things. Not everyone's happy with the outcome, but this is almost a parody of doing an open, engaged sort of process.
I think what Priestley Jackson is saying is basically JEA should have come to council in July and said, here's what we want to do. Mm-hmm. Here's why we want to do it. Here's our rationale. We'd like you to support a resolution that says you support us going through this process. Not that you're saying you're committed to selling JEA, but let's just go through this process. And really, if you're a bidder, you'd probably want that before, you know, instead of having all these council members trying to kill the process now. There's a lot of resentment from council members. The whole reason you would do that collaborative process is to get the best possible bid for this utility, as opposed to having this fractured process where just a lot of calls now for JEA to stop what it's doing.
And Aaron Zahn tries to position this as, you know, this is what the private sector would do. Yeah, we cover business, the Business Journal. This isn't what the private sector does. If a private company was going through this, their board, their shareholders would be appalled by this. This isn't how you go about doing a multi-billion dollar deal. It looks like amateur hour.
Okay, let's go to your calls. It's our Friday Media Roundtable as we discuss the top stories of the week. No surprise, our top story once again this Friday is the controversy swirling around JEA. What are your thoughts? 549-2937. Give us a call. We'll go to your tweets and emails in a moment. Linda is on the south side. Hi, Linda. Good morning.
Good morning. One of the things you pointed out when you said about the staggering of the boards and the loyalty, and I think that goes across our politics these days. We're supposed to be a representative democracy. We should not be loyal to a person. Those legislators should be loyal to the constituents. And if Mayor Curry or these city council people think this is a great idea, I challenge them to come on WJCT open forum audience members, where they don't get to select the audience, and take questions of our concerns, because this doesn't feel like a democracy. It feels like an autocracy, and, you know, if he doesn't like the way things gone, you know, the new current thing is the live tweet. Well, I'm not impressed. If you want to impress me, talk to me face-to-face in a forum where I can ask you a question and a follow-up. Mr. Zahn should do the same, because supposedly they work for us. I'd like for them to act like it. Thank you, guys.
All right, Linda, thanks for that. The city council, Giorgio, they're hearing from their constituents. So I guess the question I have, and so many others have, is will they bow to the pressure from constituents, or will they bow to the pressure from this mayor?
That's the $64,000 question, and we'll find out soon enough. But even if they do grow a spine, there's only so much that they'll be able to do, I'm afraid.
Well, they can vote. They can vote this whole thing down. They could do that next week if they wanted to.
I think the mayor is proven that he'll find a way to kind of stall it out, to kind of get into the semantics, get everyone bogged down in some kind of weird details.
But here's the thing: they have the power to end this process. They have the power to throw this to the public. Or they have the power to not even throw it to the referendum, to the public, David. They have the power to end this process.
Well,
theoretically.
They don't have the power to end it now. Basically, JEA controls whether or not this bidding process goes to conclusion. After the bidding process is concluded, then JEA votes how it votes, and then city council can say, no, we don't agree to those terms and conditions.
Say no.
We're not going to go to a referendum. This is a bad deal. Forget it.
And if you talk to some city council members, and this is when I talk about the process not going the way that you would think it would if they actually were serious and it needs to be done, there are council people who were either neutral or vaguely, hey, if it's something the mayor thinks is important, we'll consider it, who have gotten very much turned off. So the idea that, do I think there's a majority of council who would vote against it right now? No, I think there is a good chunk of people who are going to wait until it gets on their desks. But there are definitely council people who did not come in initially opposed to this, who the way that they've been treated and the way this process has gone forward has them going, no, I'm not putting my name to it.
Arthur in Jacksonville. Arthur, go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering if the city council can impeach Mayor Lenny Curry, for being a corporate raider on city property, since he nominated these cronies of his to degrade JEA and have a fire sale.
Arthur, thanks for that. No, they don't have impeachment power over this mayor, although a few people have called in over the last year and asked if there is a recall mechanism for either the mayor or any public official in this city. There is one, but it's a very high bar. It's a very difficult process to try to recall a duly elected local public official. Guys, am I correct there?
It very much so. Very rare. And I don't think there's a groundswell of support for doing that now.
Brad at the beaches. Hi, Brad.
Hi, good morning. I guess my question is, we're talking about how bad the sale is going or how bad they're doing with it. The real question is why? Why did Mayor Curry institute a board, put people in there to make this happen? Is it because the pension plan that he pushed isn't going to pay off the debts and we need more money? Or is it because he's going to try and run for a bigger office and he would have kind of big pocket contributors from whoever might have been able to purchase JEA? And I'll take my comment off the air.
I think the cynics among us, Tim Gibbons is the most cynical man I know, might say it's a little of both of those two points, perhaps.
I mean, there's no way that Lenny Curry would want to bank political favors. That just, I mean, his term's up. I'm sure he'll, you know, retire and write his memoirs or something. So that couldn't be it.
Okay, lots of tweets and emails. John tweets the show. It's too bad all of the energy at City Hall has been hijacked by the JEA boondoggle for more than a year now. Lots of problems aren't being addressed and much bad will is being generated that will make it more difficult for this city to work together. Thanks for that comment. Here's a question from a listener on Twitter. Here's what no one at City Hall or JEA seems to want to answer, is how the city replaces the revenue lost if JEA is sold. JEA provides something like $115 million a year, Nikisha, into the city's general fund. So you have to weigh that against the windfall you'd get from the sale, which would be in the billions. Here's a tweet from Stephen. Great reporting on the JEA hidden agenda and bonuses. Can your panel tell us the best local place to eat shrimp scampi? My personal Italian favorite is Mezzaluna out at the beach, but take your pick. There's lots of good choices.
JEA has a cafeteria. I don't know if they serve it there.
Here's an email from Jan. I found this online. Here is an acronym for scampi. Acronym, definition, scampi, standard capability assessment method for process improvement. Maybe that's why the code name is Project Scampi. It's an acronym for some sort of process improvement. Andy emails the show, it is perfectly logical to name this project Scampi because the most important step is to butter up all the shrimp. Thank you, Andy. Little JEA humor on the show today. Here's an email from Jesse. The first thing we need to get straight about JEA is that it's not an asset. JEA has never put money in my pocket. In fact, it costs my family nearly $100 more per month than what I paid for the same group with Florida Power and Light in St. Johns County. JEA will lose money in the future. Why not maximize the sale now? Third, as someone who works for the government, I can see how being a public entity is tying their hands and messing up their business. Let it go private. So there's the pro-privatization argument from a listener there.
And that I think that is not an invalid argument. There is a very true thing that the energy industry has changed, that times are different, and JEA needs to look at its future. And that gets back to my point earlier of if you're going to do this, you do it differently. I think there's a large contingent of people in the city who are not reflexively opposed to a sale. They're opposed to how this sale is going down.
Exactly.
And that those are two different things. The idea that JEA needs to do something and needs to be evaluated, city council needs to have workshops, independent experts need to be brought in, and maybe that leads to a sale. That's a very different thing than what is happening now.
The only other thing I would say to Jesse, too, is he doesn't see JEA as an asset. Maybe not to him personally, but it is an asset to the city overall as a public entity in the sense that it contributes a lot of money each year to the city's coffers. That's why it's traditionally been viewed as an asset.
Well, and clearly, if there are nine companies who are looking to buy JEA, it clearly has value, which I think is one of the things that JEA has struggled to explain of why someone would want to pay billions for a utility that, you know, based on the messaging they've been doing, is going to, you know, die tomorrow. So that's a hard hill to cross.
Okay, let's move on and discuss some other stories from the week. If you're just tuning in, it's our Friday Media Roundtable, and we want your calls. Join us. It's 549-2937. Now, we're going to move on to something that's been dormant for a while, the push from the local Duval County School Board to levy a half-cent sales tax for school repair and construction in some of the oldest, most dilapidated school buildings in Florida. They just happen to be here in Jacksonville. That effort essentially got stymied earlier this year by the city council. This week, we found out that the city of Jacksonville's legal team told a circuit court judge they wanted an opinion from the state attorney general's office on the school board's ability to sue and call for a sales tax referendum. They got a response a couple of weeks later from the state attorney general's office, but they didn't share it with the school board attorneys. Essentially, the attorney general of Florida, Ashley Moody, just declined to issue an opinion on this. And that was kept from the Duval County School Board's lawyers. They are suing David Bauerlein to try to push this issue into a referendum so that they can raise money to shore up older school buildings. The big sticking point, of course, has been that supporters of charter schools want a piece of this pie. And that's why the city council put a stop to this earlier this year, at least for now. It's working its way through the courts. But what about this latest news?
Yeah, the big picture is that in some parallel universe, as we sit here today, voters would have already have voted in November on this referendum, and we would know whether or not voters supported a half-cent sales tax. It would start January 1st to put $100 million a year into the school district to repair all these buildings that definitely need repairs. There seems to be widespread agreement on that. Mm-hmm. As far as where things stand with the Attorney General's opinion, it was one of those things where the city went to the attorney general saying, well, we know there's a lot of skepticism about whether or not the city council can say no to the school board, because that's very unusual. It's rare compared to how other counties have done it. And the attorney general said, well, I'm not going to weigh in on this because there's this lawsuit going on. Mm-hmm. So that means it's the judge that's going to decide this. And that's taking longer than probably we would have expected, because you know, these rulings usually come pretty quickly, and now it looks like there's going to be nothing this month, and then there's going to be a hearing in January, so it's going to be a while before we find out whether or not there even is the ability of the school board to sue, much less the merits of its lawsuit.
Right. This is going to drag on for some time, and as we follow it, we want to take your calls, 549-2937. Matthew is in Ocean Way. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, good morning. So I think the biggest thing here is there's one thing that both of these topics have in common. And to me, that's Mayor Curry. He runs the city like a mob boss. It's something I haven't seen in all my years in Jacksonville. He has stalled through his public inertia the entirety of this whole half-cent sales tax to improve the quality of education for kids in Jacksonville, period. And this isn't a black and white issue. This is an issue that covers the entirety of the city. Number one, it also affects the future of the city, because investing in the intellectual future of our city is something that should be important to all of us. So there's that piece. Then there's a JEA sale. That has smelled bad from the beginning. So he started with this. He caught a lot of flack his first term because of it. So he backed up and let Zahn carry the ball. And now he's trying to carry it across the goalpost with a different perspective. They put a narrative around it, and now they're trying to sell it as something that is beneficial to us. But they haven't told us why. If the city, if JEA is in that bad a shape, and I do know that the future is changing, the way the energy consumption is being used, people are going to solar. But it seems that there are people that are smart enough that have managed this utility for this many years successfully. It is one of the most successful utilities in the country, that they could improvise, adapt, and overcome to accommodate for future change. So both of these things, to me, tie back to one particular thing, is that our current mayor seems to want to do things the way he wants to do things without the will of the people, number one. And he totally obliterates any opposition to the way that he feels about these things. So those are the two topics that you're both bringing up, but they seem to have the same core root cause, and it seems to be Mayor Curry and some tower of power or money grab.
Matthew, thanks for the call. Giorgio.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's the mayor, and it's a whole architecture of, for lack of a better word, I'll call them cronies. But I mean, in the case of the school board referendum issue, it was general counsel coming out and just trying to nip it in the bud. As soon as the school board proposed this, then it was the city council that was dragging their feet and stalling the process. And now it's happening also in court, happening with the lawyers. I mean, it's really surreal. It's absurd.
Nikisha.
This whole thing at this point, it's like we're at December 6th. There are 25 days left in the year. So if we're talking about 2020 now, that's when the mayor wanted to do the vote anyway. So why are we still in court? Why don't we drop these lawsuits and let's get it on the ballot so that we can actually help the children of Duval County and make the schools better? Because that's what you wanted to do anyway. I could see in June and July when you were filing the lawsuit to try to get it on the ballot in November, but that point and that time has passed. Let's focus on what's next and not be dragging around in court. I think it just goes back to what one of the other callers was saying, is that, you know, our city and our government has been hijacked by these few issues and that nothing else is being done. It happened with the pension program where the mayor flat out said, I'm not doing anything else until this gets done. And that took, what, 6-8 months? And then city government returned to normal. Now we're doing the same thing with JEA. Now we're doing the same thing with the half-cent sales tax. And the city are suffering. The people in the city are suffering. And what's worse about the half-cent sales tax is that we're going to have students in classrooms for another year and in school buildings for another year where they're dilapidated and they have plaster falling on them or pipes are bursting.
No air conditioning and sometimes.
Exactly.
Okay, let's go to Jane in Ponte Vedra. Jane, go ahead.
Hi. I recently moved up from Orange County, Florida, and I've lived in Indianapolis. And I've seen two spectrums. In Indy, the mayor, the governor, and the local governments didn't work well together, and sales taxes either never got on the ballot or were prevented from being put on the ballot. In Orange County, where there's been huge growth, downtown living, people moving back into the city, new schools, old schools renovated. It seems to me that Mayor Dyer took the attitude of, let's just do what's right locally and forget the politics. And I don't understand why the government here in Duval and in Northeast Florida is stopping the people from voting. Let people say what they want to do.
Thank you, Jane. I think it does come down to ideology. Down in Orlando, Mayor Buddy Dyer, very popular mayor, they don't have term limits down there. He's been in office some time. He's a Democrat. He's probably more open to the idea of a sales tax referendum for schools or other ideas like or other initiatives like that. With Mayor Curry, you have a conservative Republican who believes that the utility is better in private hands and is a strong proponent of school choice and school privatization. So with both of these issues, it has to do with ideology, ultimately.
And personal ambition and personal enrichment.
Well, always. But that was one of the key things in Curry's statement to city council, where he came out and, again, made clear he's for the process, not for privatization. But I had never
heard
him.
He's also said he believes that privatization would be better.
He has, but I've never heard him come out and say, basically, not connected to the sale at all, but simply as a philosophical, ideological position, that Jacksonville should not own a utility, which is a...
But he did say something like that the other day.
He said it before city council. It kind of got glossed over. But the idea that we have this utility that's been owned by the city for forever. And I mean, I'm not arguing with the position. Obviously, it's a valid position to take. But it's fascinating to me that when we look at the sale of JEA, JEA is saying they have to sell it because of a death spiral. The mayor is saying we should not, that the people of Jacksonville should not own a utility. That's an interesting point. That's not the times are changing. That's nope, we should not do this. That's a different thing.
Peter on the south side. Go ahead, Peter.
Yes, hi. I believe that Mayor Curry and the city council are a lot smarter than the speakers on this panel give them credit for. I honestly think that the general population in Duval County is not engaged in the sale of JEA, neither are they engaged in the half-cent sales tax. because they don't listen to your show and they don't take the Florida Times Union, and those seem to be the only vehicles where these things are being discussed. They're not being discussed on the nightly TV news, and I certainly don't think that they're being discussed on people's cell phones where many of them get the news from. That's my comment. Thank you.
All right, Peter, I wouldn't disagree with you on that. That said, you know, our mission is to cover the news, so we're just going to keep doing it. all of us here, I think, believe in that. David?
JA, if it's sold, would be a huge historic event. So, yes, that is worthy of massive coverage.
But I think what the caller was saying is that there are
a lot of voters aren't paying attention.
Right. And I actually wonder about that with JEA. I think that's true, or at least was true, with the school sales tax.
The JEA issue, though, I think is bigger.
It's getting traction, and the sales tax got parents involved. So I think there is a wider, it's like the pension reform. I think you could say that most people who showed up to vote on pension reform were not sitting in on pension hearings and paying a huge amount of attention to it a couple years ago. But JEA and the school tax do seem to have broken through a little bit more.
Rich writes on our Facebook page, I think this administration needs a complete and thorough investigation for corruption. Paula writes, if I'm caught doing something shady, I have to stop doing it. Tom says, I believe this is all about getting enough money to build a new football stadium for the Jaguars, cover the Lot J development cost, and make up for the shortfall in revenue for the mayor's pension reforms. Okay, let's take one more call on this. It's Bill on the South Side. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill. Oh, hey, Melissa.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, the people of Jacksonville, the taxpayer, owns the JEA. And they've been a reliable, consistent resource for many, many years for our city. And I don't think that a politician or appointed entities should make the decision. They should put it to the people. This is a long-standing relationship with our own utility, and I think that people should be the ones to make the difference. There should be a vote. That's just my opinion.
Thank you, Bill. You know, and it's really remarkable. The polling shows that the majority of listeners out there, voters, Nikisha, both Republicans and Democrats, feel the same way Bill does. They want a say. They're opposed to a sale. Some of that may just be people don't like change. Some of it may be they think they're happy with JEA service the way it is. And the public will get the chance to vote unless there's some mechanism that takes the referendum option away.
I think these are some of the issues with JEA and the half-cent sales tax, where you could really put party aside and the philosophical differences of how you would govern according to the standards of your party aside, and really just look at the issues, because we're talking about selling a utility that could bring money into the city or take money away from the city after that, you know, that big lump sum is spent. And we're talking about an issue that would help the future of the people who live in the city. That's the center core of governing, helping good people, doing good work. And if you can make good money while doing it, then so be it. But at the center of it, you're trying to help the people who live here and do good work for them. That doesn't dictate what party you subscribe to or what philosophy you can be in. You can do both. And if you really look at what you're doing, I think the answers will become very clear. Let the people vote on this half-cent sales tax, make the JEA process more transparent from the jump instead of trying to do it the backroom way and then still getting your way in the end.
Tyrona, I'm going to sneak in a call from Tyrona in Jacksonville. Tyrona, go ahead.
Hello, Melissa. How are you doing?
Good.
I was calling to respond to the gentleman who stated that most of the citizens in Jacksonville aren't aware of the issues regarding JEA and regarding the half-cent sales tax. And I wanted to let him know that, no, we are aware. I happen to be the chair of the Northwest CPAC, which is the Citizens Planning Advisory Council or committee, and one of five that are established by an executive order from the city. So we discuss JEA, the sale of JEA, we discussed the half-cent sales tax on a regular basis. In addition to that, we also wrote a resolution regarding our approval or saying that we want the half-cent sales tax for the building of schools. So the gentleman needs to do a little more research, and he also needs to perhaps go on the internet and go to the site, the COJ.net site, to find out which CPAC is meeting in his particular town, so he will know that these issues are being discussed on a regular basis, not beyond the radio, beyond the newspaper, from word to word, I'm sorry, mouth to mouth, and neighborhood association to neighborhood association.
Thank you, Tyrona. Thanks for being civically engaged. Join the CPAC in your neighborhood. It's a way to get engaged in all of these issues that affect the community. Okay. Want to make a final note of something. This week, JU announced it's sadly ending its football program. But fans of the Gridiron can rejoice that Minshew Mania has returned to TIAA Bank Field. Gardner Minshew has been named starting quarterback. He will take the field Sunday as the Jaguars face off against the Chargers. The Jaguars even put a Minshew snow globe on their Facebook page this week. Baby Yoda Minshew is getting lots of love online too, but will it help us win the game? I don't know. Thoughts?
When you talk about JU, I think it's interesting too on the college standpoint. If you look at what Edward Waters is doing with their football program, they're ramping up their football program. And it's a really exciting sort of way of their new athletic director, the facilities that they're trying to put money into. They're changing conferences. So, you know,
going to the NCAA. Yep.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Okay. Well, good luck, Jaguars. Please just win a game. And before we go to break, it's now time, for our lightning round. We're going to go around the horn and let everyone sound off on stories you might have missed from the week, beginning with Nakisha.
I want to highlight Tony Smolodic's new book, Introducing Jacksonville to Jacksonville. It's a coffee table book with beautiful photographs that he takes at events all across the city.
It's gorgeous.
And just introducing like some of the best creatives and local folks in the city. I know a lot of the people who are featured. And so go pick it up and learn more about the great people who live in your city.
Perfect gift for the holidays. Giorgio.
Today is the last day to nominate your favorite people, places, and things in our reader poll, Best of St. Augustine.
Go to Folio Weekly for that. Tim Gibbons.
Broker was picked for the First Baptist property, the 11 acres downtown. So they're marketing as one big block, which is something people had been hoping for. So it'll be interesting. Obviously, that's a long-term project, but it'll be interesting to see how that transforms downtown.
Yeah, who will buy those 9 city blocks? Yep. David Bauerlein.
Well, speaking of shrimp, on a sadder note, there was 2 shrimp boats that burned at the Mayport docks. That's a big setback for a community that really has been trying to build a renaissance for Mayport around a return to the shrimp industry. So I don't know what's going to happen now in terms of getting those boats back in operation. It sounds like the owners don't have insurance, so it's a total loss.
Oh, that's a shame. Read about that in the paper. Read the Business Journal. Read Folio Weekly. Read Nakisha. She's an author. And always look for the news on our website, too. And thank you so much, David, Tim, Giorgio, and Nakisha, for being here. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
And up next, a taste of the town via a walking tour. We'll tell you how you can be part of it after this.
Women's Board of Wolfson Children's Hospital hosts the 2019 Art and Antique Show December 6th through 8th, featuring acclaimed designers, decorators, and antique dealers benefiting Wolfson Children's Hospital. More information at womensboardwolfsonchildrenshospital.com.
Firm, I'm Wayne Hogan. Holiday shopping at thrift stores and yard sales can save money, but some secondhand items for kids may have been recalled for defects. Our website has links to help avoid dangerous toys.
More at terrellhogan.com.
Amelia Island invites you to travel back to Tiny Tim's time during Dickens on Center in downtown Fernandina Beach, December 13th through 15th. A Victorian Christmas festival celebrates the classic spirit of Christmas. Info at AmeliaIslandChristmas.com.
The Kennedy Center Lifetime Artistic Achievement Awards will be presented Sunday. On the next Fresh Air, we'll hear from one of the recipients, Michael Tilson Thomas, conductor of the San Francisco Symphony. And we'll remember Mary Previty, who worked with youth in detention and at-risk youth. She died last month. Join us.
This afternoon at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
Hi, I'm Melissa Ross.
And I'm Tom Hudson.
Together, we host the Florida Roundup, a weekly live statewide call-in show looking at the biggest issues impacting the Sunshine State. If it's making news in Florida, you'll hear it on the Florida Roundup. So join us each Friday at noon, right here on 89.9 WJCT.
The House considers the meaning of high crimes and misdemeanors.
Words abuse of office are not mystical or magical. They are very clear.
Will it be enough to remove President Trump from office?
A paucity of evidence and an abundance of anger.
Plus the end of the road for Kamala Harris and a warning to hold the fries. The Friday News Roundup next time on 1A.
Today at 10 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. It's your chance to get a holiday taste of the First Coast, and all you've got to do is get out and walk. Jeff Spear and Andrea Jones are the founders of Tasting Tours of Jacksonville, and they join us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you guys. Okay, Andrea, let's start with you. You've been doing this for several years now in St. Augustine, correct? And it's coming up here?
Absolutely. We actually founded in 2011 in St. Augustine. It's between my co-founder, Joanna Engel, and myself. We started in St. Augustine with three-hour food and wine pairing tours and also wine and carriage tours as well.
This is ranked as one of the highest-rated tour companies in Florida. TripAdvisor gives you huge props. So people love the walking tours in St. Augustine. But, Jeff, this month you are bringing it up to Duval.
Absolutely.
Tasting tours in Jacksonville. What's going to be happening?
Well, when I met Andrea, I realized that they were doing these fabulous tours in St. Augustine. And if you haven't been on one, they're loads of fun. It's a great way to see the town. But I realized they had nothing in Jacksonville, and I was really surprised. And there's really nothing like this here in Jacksonville. There are a few people that do these tours. They go to one place, or but this is a walking tour. We started out in Riverside, so in the Five Points neighborhood, and we're going to not just to any restaurants, but we've actually curated a group of destinations. We expose people. These are tastings, so they get mm-hmm. exposed to either dishes that we consider best of breed, or there's some exciting new esoteric ingredient that they get to experience, or just a new culinary adventure. So it's it's a nice walk around the town. It's not a history tour, but I've included a little bit of history in it.
Great.
I've learned about the region by doing the research for this.
Now, this is going to begin not this weekend, but Saturday, December 21st.
That's
correct. Small group, and you will lead them through the culinary delights of the Five Points area. What are the stops on the tour? Can you share that?
Well, we've got a number of venues. Working with restaurants, sometimes they have bookings, and so we have to be considerate of what their operations are going through. So we're working with places like Black Sheep, with Crane Ramen, with Hawkers, the Comer Cafe, River and Post. So lots of good stuff. And then radio listeners can't see this, but Melissa and I get to enjoy some pastries that we brought in from Rebo Bakery, which is also in the area. They do some fabulous baked goods.
And thank you for that. You know the way to our heart here in the newsroom, don't you? Those pastries will be gone in about 5 minutes flat. Now, Andrea, this is sort of a cool thing, too, because St. Augustine has a very European feel, and it's very much a walking city. And now bringing that up to Jacksonville, you're sort of adding, you're bringing this European tradition of tapas and walking from place to place and sampling foods in small portions. That's something that's so common in European countries. You're bringing that to America.
Absolutely. What's really great about these tours is you're not just tasting one location. You've got five different locations that you get to experience. So you're getting a taste of the area. So not only are we starting in the Riverside area, Five Points area, but it's also going to go to downtown as well as the beaches, which is going to be wonderful for not only visitors coming in, but also locals alike. Just like St. Augustine, we take locals, as well as visitors, of course, to places that they never would have found on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to taste the area. So that is a major, major plus in my book.
Right. And now this is the first one you're kicking off in December, but
That's
you plan
right.
more in the new year, too.
Yeah. As Andrew said, we're going to do the Beaches Town Center, which is where Atlantic and A1A join. It's where Flying Iguana and Ocean 60 and those places are. So we're putting together an agenda for that area. And then also in downtown. And one of the interesting things about downtown and doing the research is I learned that at the end of Liberty Street at Bay, that is where the original Native American settlement called Wakapalaka was, which meant where the cows cross.
Okay.
And that's where Jacksonville started.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There's a little place there on that corner. I just can't remember what it is.
Yeah, I have to go over and look, but I had no idea about that part of the history here.
So when you come on the tasting tours, you'll learn the history of the region along with some great food. So go to their website now and register for the first ever tasting tour in Jacksonville. The website is thetastingtours.com. And I can personally attest that Jeff and Andrea are both delightful company. So you will have a wonderful time and enjoy yourself greatly. Jeff Spear and Andrea Jones are co-founders of the Tasting Tours of Jacksonville. What a great idea. That'll be a lot of fun, guys. Enjoy. Thanks for coming.
Thanks,
Melissa, and happy holidays to you.
You too. Well, that's our show. Get out and walk, whatever you do this weekend. I'm Melissa Ross. Our producer is Heather Schatz. Michelle Corm directs the show, and our news director is Jessica Palumbo, with Bill Bortsfield, our digital editor. We always want your feedback. Send those emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. And tune in today at noon for the Florida Roundup, our weekly live statewide call-in program where we discuss the biggest issues across Florida. Today at noon, we'll speak with both a Republican and a Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee hailing from Florida as they react to the articles of impeachment that have been drafted against President Trump. That's coming up today at noon. In the meantime, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Are you ready, Boots? Come on, stop walking.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.